people feel better about themselves, that's what they see everywhere else. It's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like when you see love in yourself, you see love everywhere else. Maybe it's, you know, maybe I think too much, but I like to think of my work that way. I like to think that I'm doing meaningful work.
I'm Julia Fioni.
I'm Simran Singh.
And I'm Anuela Vega. This is CenterScope.
I'm on my desk in my bedroom at my parents' house in Hisar, 2 hours west of New Delhi. I have a bit of a different day than my co-workers. It's, you know, usually around 7:30 p.m. Indian time, which is 9 a.m. Toronto time, that I sit on my desk and get started on work. By around 7:30, my mom gets me, you know, a cup of coffee at my desk. Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
And I am logging into my first meeting of the day at 8:30 p.m. Indian time. My name is Abhi Raheja. I am the editor-in-chief at the Ryersonian.
The past year has been, well, you know, different. Normally, we'd be recording in a studio on Gould Street in Toronto. But this year, our teams, namely our editor-in-chief, is all over the map. Still, CenterScope is going to bring you news from Ryerson University and the Toronto Centre. To kick off our show this year and the official rebranding of the Ryersonian's Blue and Gold podcast, we're going to take a closer look at how our newsroom is run remotely.
So many dogs barking in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I can actually hear that coming through the phone on your end. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Api. I know it's quite late where you are right now, so let's just jump into our first question. So what stories should readers and listeners be looking out for this semester at the Ryersonian?
We've been discussing ways how, as a publication and as an organization, we can not just inform in the stories we do, but also uplift. It can really be, you know, from anything to how the consumer behavior is changing from COVID, to how after COVID there is going to be a lot more focus on self-care and on health and wellness. People are going to realize how, you know, life's so fragile and how we should be more mindful of our health, of our community's health, and of our healthcare system and things like that. But one thing's for sure, that the stories that we're going to do this semester are going to be personal stories, trying to tell stories for people from our community, people from our own team, and do it in a way that's trustworthy and that's relatable.
So, just in your personal opinion, why do you find it important for the Ryersonian to continue sharing these stories with the Toronto Centre area?
We're living in a day and age where information can make and break communities. We're living in a day and age where, you know, just the words consisting of lies and propaganda can lead to an insurrection, just like, you know, at the U.S. Capitol. So it's very important that local news organizations like the Ryersonian are able to develop and maintain that trust with the community. I'm talking about the trust of being a reliable information provider, a reliable place to go for the community to get updates on you know, the issues that affect them.
What are some of the challenges you've faced so far working remotely in Hisar?
Oh my God, you're gonna regret asking me that question because you don't want to get me started on that.
Api shared with me how he's appreciated having the support of his family, something that he doesn't really experience living on his own in Toronto.
You change, and then coming back and having to spend this time with my family is truly, truly a blessing. And as much as I love it...
Although he's enjoyed time with his family, Abhi listed a handful of challenges that come with working remotely. Inconsistent access to Wi-Fi and periodic power outages, to name a few.
Having lived 3.5 hours, 3.5 years in Toronto, you take for granted what 24/7 power means. Here, you know, power goes out every few hours, and then you kind of have to like think about, oh, like whether my laptop's charged, is it gonna last while I wait for the power to come back. You know, it's really cold here right now, and it's the kind of cold that's very different from Canada. So whether the heater is going to be able to work, whether I'm going to be able to sit at my desk and work, or should I sit on the bed with my blanket on, and things like that, and if the power is gone for too long, are the lights going to work? Because there's a point to which the lights are going to work too, otherwise the generator is going to go off. So things like that you have to be mindful about, that can get frustrating on a busy day, But then I see people here, my friends and family here who just kind of like accept it as part of their lives. So I try not to really take too much, let it give me too much stress. But just to end this answer by mentioning mental health, I feel like, I've spent a lot of time in the past few years working 10-hour, 12-hour days, which is the same thing that's happening now. My mental health is at a much better place than it would be if I was, living on my own in Toronto. I'm coming back. I'm traveling back soon in a week or so. But my mental health is at a better place because I still get to spend those few hours, having lunch with my mom and dad. Sitting outside on the patio and just, taking in the sun. And speaking with my mom and dad, and just spending that time that I wouldn't otherwise when I was away. So still working hard, working those long days, but getting to be at home and feeling that love from the family has really, impacted my mental health in a positive way. So not really a challenge, but a good observation that helps me with the challenges.
And I want to start to shift gears now and just ask you a little bit about why you chose to step into this role this semester as editor-in-chief of the Ryersonian.
Well, it's funny, I didn't expect to get it, really, honestly, being really honest with you. I've been truly blessed to have been able to go to class with an exceptional cohort of journalism students throughout these 4 years. And so when I applied for this position, it was more so just to check the box for myself that yes, at least I tried. But I didn't expect it because I saw how much talent there was in the team that was going into this masthead. When I applied, I applied thinking, at least justifying to myself that, one of my strengths is people. I feel like I'm a people's person, so I can always, communicate with people strongly and in a way that leads to constructive and substantive flow of work. I really enjoy working with people, and that's what my basis was for applying to this job.
Go ahead and tell me about one goal that you've set for yourself as editor-in-chief for this semester.
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, I didn't come in thinking that I had one specific goal, but as I'm easing into the editor-in-chief role at the Ryersonian, I can't stop but thinking about the impact that we want to have at the end of the semester as a team. And that is, if not completely trying, at least, in pulling, our community out of this COVID fatigue and of this very, very depressing and overwhelming news cycle that we've had for the past few months, with the US elections and with COVID and, the misinformation surrounding the vaccine and just this whole experience of remote learning, for university students. So one thing, if I had to pack it all into one thing that I want to see happen at the Ryerson or through the Ryerson, or that one thing that I want to do is deliver stories that are helpful and guide people to be a better version of themselves. So, you know, that could be in ways we provide guides to a better and healthy living. It could be the information that we provide them. It could be more hopeful, more uplifting information.
It really does sound like you have quite a compassionate view on this coming semester at the Ryersonian. I'm wondering if there's anything in your own experience from your own life that has led you to take this view and set this goal for yourself and for the team.
When I look back now, I realize that I've always tried to make life better for the people that for other people or for people around me from the work that I do. And that's what I see in the work that I want to do for the Ryersonian as well. I don't want it to be just news as in a tool to inform people and you know, update the community on daily events. I want this to be more than just a regular news paper or a news publication. I want it to be that partner for every person in the community where they go when they feel like, you know, they want to know more, the place where they go where they can, you know, get resources for being a better person or for becoming a better part of the community. So that's how I see it. Maybe it's too deep, maybe it's, you know, maybe I think too much, but I like to think of my work that way. I like to think that I'm doing meaningful work, and you know, that makes me sleep at night.
Is there a reason why you naturally gravitate towards creating opportunities to tell this good news, or even just really truly believe in the betterment of other people in your work?
It's a good question, because I can recall, you know, so many ways that people have done that for me. It's when you truly you know, do something without expecting, you know, any returns, and when you just truly do something to put it out there and for the universe to just consume and be better by it. When you just truly just put work out there without any expectation, you know, the father of the nation, the country that I'm in right now, India, he, Mahatma Gandhi, he used to say something along the lines of how you should do the work that's in front of you without expecting any fruits of it. So that's how I look at it. I am, when I'm doing things by looking at them in a way that it's making someone's life better, it just makes me a better person. And I feel like if everybody thought about their own work like that, if, you know, the work they're doing is making the world better, they will feel better about themselves. And when people feel better about themselves, that's what they see everywhere else. It's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like when you see love in yourself, you see love everywhere else.
And Api, remind me again what time it is where you are right now.
It's 4:10 a.m.
That's absolutely shocking to hear, as it is 5:39 p.m. in Toronto where I'm reporting. And I thank you for joining us today to be able to speak about your experiences reporting remotely and being our editor-in-chief this year for the Ryersonian.
Thank you, Julia. Thanks for having me.
CenterScope is a production of the Ryersonian and the Ryerson School of Journalism. I'm your host, Julia Fioni. Simran Singh is our co-reporter and co-host. This episode was mixed by our executive producer, Manuela Vega. Our editor-in-chief is Api Raheja, and our managing editor is Kirti Vyas. Our instructors are Peter Baker-George and H.G. Watson. That's the scope, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.